Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 8, where I read for you again these words of our Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So far, the reading of the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the name that was placed upon you in your baptism. It identifies who you are, and it identifies whose you are. For you are sinners for whom Christ died. You are sinners who are forgiven for Jesus' sake. You are children of God through faith in Christ and His redeeming work. You are made holy through the work of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, this is a day to rejoice. For this is the day on which we hear and confess the most offensive teaching there is, the Holy Trinity. Perhaps you were offended at the words that began the creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Some take offense at the words, this is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. And then there are those who are offended by something else or even everything else in between. And yet, everything the Athanasian Creed confesses is true. If we're offended by the creed, the problem is not with the creed, but with us. That is why it is good for us to celebrate the festival of the Holy Trinity. Now, to be sure, we cannot understand the Trinity. We cannot explain the Trinity. We can only confess the Holy Trinity as He is revealed to us in Holy Writ. We can only rejoice and praise the Holy Trinity and thank Him for all His benefits, the chief of which is forgiveness, life, and salvation. And yet, even as we focus on the Holy Trinity, our attention turns to Jesus. For it is Jesus who reveals the Holy Trinity to us. You see, we cannot know the Father except through the Son. We can't come to the Father except through the Son He sent to be our Savior. Thus, to give glory to God, or to the Father, is to give glory to His Son, and vice versa. And if it seems that the Holy Spirit gets forgotten, it's only because He also points us and directs us to Jesus. For Jesus is the one who gave His life for us to restore us to life. And as we hear about Jesus, we can't help but remember His humanity. Though conceived by the Holy Spirit, He's born of the Virgin Mary. He ate, He drank, He slept. He grew in size and knowledge. He had emotions. He exhibited anger. He mourned. He wept. He suffered, bled, and died. Yes, Jesus was fully human in every way, yet without sin. In today's gospel, the Jews take offense at Jesus because they accept his humanity, but nothing more. They see him standing right in front of them. That's why they don't like what he says. Throughout John chapter 8, Jesus is conversing with the Jews, and especially the Jews who had believed in him. And in the course of that conversation, the Jews claim to be Abraham's children, as if that was something to brag about, as if that was some sure way to get to heaven. And that's why they don't like what Jesus says. Yet, Jesus tells them that they are the devil's children. And that's why they don't hear God's words. And of course, they certainly didn't like that. But the best response they can come up with is to call Jesus a Samaritan and say that he has a demon. You see, they have no good answer, and so they call him names. And what's their problem? They simply could not accept that Jesus is divine, that he is, in fact, God. It was beyond their ability to believe. And besides, if Jesus really was divine, if he really was God, then they would be with no choice but to listen to him and to do what he says. And since they did not want to do that, they did not want to listen to Jesus, they in effect want to be their own God. And things are no different today. Many people are happy to accept Jesus, the man. They may say he's a good moral teacher, a prophet even, but they don't necessarily feel obligated to listen to him, to keep his word, or obey it. They're willing to use him to promote whatever social cause they choose, even as they ignore other things, he says. They too want to be God, and thus show themselves to also be children of the devil. And yet, Jesus claims that before Abraham was, I am. He thus claims to be eternal, without beginning and without end. He claimed for himself the divine name that God had given to his covenant people as he brought them out of bondage in Egypt. As Moses trembled with the prospect of his demanding the release of the Israelites, he had asked God to tell him the name of the God who would set them free. And God said, "My name is Yahweh," which is translated, "I am." And it is only those enlightened by the Spirit who believe Jesus' divinity and listen to him. Now, in their unbelief, those Jews took up stones to throw at him, to kill him. But Jesus' time had not yet come. Today, people throw verbal stones of contempt at anyone who preaches a cross, resurrection, and eternal reign of our Lord. They ridicule those who claim that Jesus is the only Savior of the world and the only way to heaven. They despise anyone who would accuse them of sin against God, and then they then label them as bigoted, closed-minded, mean-spirited, hateful, or worse. They refuse to believe what is confessed in the creed. But unbelief does not change the truth. Jesus is the great I Am. He stands, even today, as the pivotal figure in all of history. And His word continues to confront and confound the world, even as it did in His own day. Jesus, the Word made flesh, is God incarnate, God in the flesh. The Word, who was in the beginning, who was with God, who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And as the Holy Spirit has led us to believe that, we have the greatest gift of all. For in Jesus, we have the one true God doing the unthinkable. He became one of us, one with us, to redeem us, to save us. The one in whom was life, He gave up His life so that we, who deserve nothing but death, might live. And He did all this in willing obedience to His Father and His boundless love for us, so that we, who are by nature children of wrath, might become children of God. And so we are. Consider how beautifully this is stated in the Lenten hymn. The sinless Son of God must die in sadness. The sinful child of man may live in gladness. Man forfeited his life and is acquitted. God is committed. What blessed grace! What blessed truth! We have a Savior who took our place under God's wrath, suffering all that we deserve because of our sin. We have a Savior who took our sin upon Himself and died in our place so that we may be brought from death to life. We have a Savior who rose from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, so that we too might live in the presence of God forever. Our blessedness knows no bounds. And lest you think Jesus gets too much attention or the glory, know this. It is only through the Son that we know the Father. And even the disciples struggled with this. But Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So if you want the Father, receive the Son. If you want to hear God's words, listen to the Son. Take His words to heart. Rejoice in His saving work and His saving words. And though we do distinguish between the persons of the Trinity, that is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one. One in essence, one in purpose. And they are for us and for our salvation. God is not and cannot be divided. He cannot be parceled out. Jesus, The great I Am has redeemed your soul by suffering and dying on that cursed cross. And the Father sent the Spirit in Jesus' name to teach us these saving truths and to give us faith in them. And this faith is no mere notion in our minds or hearts, but it is a flesh and blood reality we taste and see in the bread and wine. And the resurrection of our own bodies and the face-to-face fellowship we will experience will be just as real, just as substantial as the name and doctrine of the triune God we worship and adore. God grant to each of you such blessedness now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.